Shabbat Shalom. This week's parashah is entitled Tazria, meaning she conceived. It is taken from the book of Leviticus, chapter 12, verse 1 through chapter 13, verse 59. Why would Adonai instruct Moses to tell women that during their ministration or after conceiving a child that they are unclean and not allowed to enter the sanctuary, and that whatever they touch is unclean, or that anyone who touches her or anything that she has touched will be unclean until evening and must stay outside of the camp? And why is she considered unclean 40 days after the birth of a son, but 80 days after the birth of a daughter? In order to fully understand the importance of what the Lord is saying to Israel in this parasha, it is to understand the book in which he is speaking. In the pages of Leviticus, Adonai teaches Israel about holiness. The word holy appears no less than 144 times in this book alone. It appears here more than in any other book in Scripture. In Leviticus, we hear Adonai saying, "I am the Lord your God. You shall be holy, for I am holy." The prophet Isaiah tells us that the angels are forever worshiping God, declaring him holy, holy, holy. Now, holiness can be defined as purity, different, or set apart for special purposes. 1 Peter 2 and 9 says, "You are his chosen people, the king's priest. You are a holy nation, people belonging to God." He chose you to tell about all the wonderful things that he has done. He brought us out of the darkness of sin into his wonderful light. So please understand, sexuality is not dirty for a man and woman in coveted a marriage. Nor is pregnancy defiling, nor should we think that babies are impure. God created humans, male and female, and declared his creation to be very good, which includes sexual intimacy. He commanded our first parents to be fruitful and multiply. Now, in giving birth, the mother experiences bleedings as well as secretions of other bodily fluids, and this made her ceremonially unclean. The theme of this chapter isn't personal holiness, but ritual purification for the mother, without which she could not return to a normal life in her home or in the camp. Now, 40 days after the birth of a son or 80 days after the birth of the daughter, the mother and father were required to go to the sanctuary and offer sacrifices for the mother's cleansing. A year-old lamb for a burnt offering and a dove or a pigeon for a sin offering. A burnt offering symbolizes her dedication to God as she returned to her normal life. And the sin offering took care of the ritual uncleanness involved in the birth process. It also reminded them that every child, no matter how beautiful or delightful he or she might be, is born in sin and must one day trust the Lord for salvation. These instructions show God's loving concern for the health and the welfare of his people. Those 40 days after the birth of a son or 80 days after the birth of a daughter provided opportunity for rest, recuperation, as well as time for bonding between mother and child. This enforced isolation would also protect both of them from possible sickness carried by visitors or the spread of any infection that she might have. Now consider the tremendous benefits in the lives of the children whose mothers were obedient to God's instructions. Hannah dedicated Samuel. Elizabeth dedicated John. Mary dedicated Yeshua, and Rabbi Paul's mother no doubt also followed these instructions. And there are many more we can name: David, Daniel, and Jeremiah, and the list could go on and on. Now, in chapter 13 contains requirements about lepers. This tragic disease of leprosy is a chronic infectious disease characterized by sores, scabs, raw open, and running flesh, with shiny white spots beneath the skin. It renders its victim ceremonially unclean. Contact with a leper defiled whoever touched them. The leper affected everyone and everything he touched. If he drank from a cup, the cup was defiled. All that he did was full of the same offensiveness as himself. And the Lord required lepers to remain outside the camp, for they were, for all intents and purposes, dead to all the enjoyments of life and heaven. And so it is with the sinner in regards to the people and the things of God. The one living in sin has none of the spiritual joys which God affords his people. Every other disease, when cured, is referred to in Scripture as healing, but the cure of leprosy is referred to as cleansing. Whenever a leper was cleansed under Jewish law, the leper did nothing. The priest did it all. Now note that it was the priest and not a physician. It was considered as much as a spiritual as a physical malady. And what is fascinating is that if the priest found any uninfected area on a leper, the leper was pronounced unclean. But if the leprosy totally covered him, he was considered to be clean. The leper was a raw source of contamination, defilement, and an offense to people, just as sinful man is offensive to a holy God. And it is only outside the blessings of God that we begin to understand this. When we see ourselves as totally guilty before a holy God, humble ourselves and go to him with no pretenses of having any merits of our own, we receive the grace of Adonai, and through Yeshua, our sacrificial lamb, we are declared clean. But prayerfully consider what cost this was to Yeshua himself. One of the names the rabbis had for Yeshua was the leprous one. It was because of the prophecy of Isaiah 53. Yeshua is not only our great high priest, but in a very real sense, the leper of lepers. He was mocked, tortured, spat upon, whipped, beaten, nailed to the cross, and pierced, to the point that much of his flesh became raw, open flesh. He was a wretched sight. He was despised and rejected, and all for our sake. He became sin. He became unholy. He became everything the Father hated. And it was in that moment that he became the ultimate leper. And when he cried aloud, my God, why have you forsaken me?" he was not merely quoting Psalms 22, nor was he just experiencing the utmost pain and humiliation. But for the first time in his eternal existence, he was separated from God, his Father. He took upon himself the judgments that we deserve. And just as he went outside the camp and found a leper, so Yeshua left heaven and came to seek and to save those of us who were lost. And just as the high priest was the only one who could declare a leper cleansed, so Messiah Yeshua is the only one who can wash and cleanse us in his precious blood. And just as the leper could do nothing to make himself clean, we can do nothing to make ourselves clean before a holy God. It is Yeshua, our great high priest, who alone can cleanse us and bring us into a right relationship with our God, our King, and our Father. Shabbat shalom.